Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless this holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sending in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen? So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our job. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. And when we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with tonight. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this place, give us traveling mercy. Bless our families and home to be in order as we left it. And Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you are doing. And we thank you for everything you are going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is worthy.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Praise God.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you, what will Jesus do?
to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day. Thank you for the opportunity to begin again. We choose to press forward and keep believing for the dreams and desires you place in our hearts. We trust you today with everything that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. So at this time, I will play another selection.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. All to the glory of God. Everything belongs to Him in the fullness of His blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know His mercy, humbling ourselves to His mountain. We pray His holy. All the gold, for as far as the eye can see, He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and He's coming in the clouds to restore our souls brand new.
All to the glory of God.
Amen. In Genesis 2 and 4, where it says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, Jehovah, God made earth and heaven. Praise God. Let us pray. Jehovah, you are worthy of all praise and admiration. You are the God who made the heavens and the earth. You set the stars in their places and hung the moon where it was to remain. You rule over all, and yet you also seek a relationship with your creation. For that and much more, you are worthy of all praise and worship. We lift up your name, Jehovah, as we seek your face, and we honor you as you are seated on your throne above all. You are the great and mighty God who raises up kingdoms and subdues nations at your choosing. In your mercy, you sustain all life and passionately delight in our souls. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. To God be the glory, and at this time, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, if you know it's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God.
celebrate the awesome God.
Amen. Praise God. And now it is time for our devotional message for this evening, which is entitled Inner Reality. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 33. And it says, "You are just in all that has come upon us. You have dealt faithfully." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. As the Jews returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, they found their city in ruins, with the protective outer walls and temple destroyed. The homeland they dreamed of was as devastated as they were. However, it was not until Ezra stepped out and read God's word aloud to them that they really understood their problem. The outer reality of Jerusalem's devastated condition reflected their inner condition due to sin. Their response was overwhelming. They wept in repentance and relief. The Jewish people immediately confessed their sins, understanding their hardships were a result of their actions. Israel's rebellion against God had led to spiritual, emotional, and physical bondage. But the Lord was calling them back out of his love for them. Certainly, not all adversity, not all the adversity we experience occurs as a result of sin. Some hardships are the result of our fallen world. But it's important for us to realize that outward devastation often reveals an inward reality. We must submit to God. Thankfully, while there are consequences, there's also hope and forgiveness when we return to the Lord. So today, examine your heart and turn back to God so he can rebuild whatever has been broken. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, reveal any sinful way in us so we can repent and return to your path. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening, inner reality. So search your heart, your insides, and return back to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Presence down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Your word on earth, above me, the coming back. You are the
awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. God with us.
God with us.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
You
were born in a manger,
but on a tree you died to save man.
The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
Desiring to be close to me. Thank you for not only being high and lifted up, but also dwelling with the lowly and with those who are not of a high stature. Thank you for the goodness and depth of your heart, which pours out love time and again in my life. Thank you for your grace and patience, which you lovingly manifest even in the face of my many dismissals of you. I often walk in the midst of the beauty of your creation without giving you the praise and credit you deserve. Please accept my heart of gratitude right now for all you have made and for your desire to know me fully and to empower me to know you as well. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God. In Proverbs 10 and 12, in the CSB says, hatred stirs up conflicts, but love covers all offenses. And the title of this message is, bitterness puts distance between you and God. Are you mired in the quicksand of bitterness or regret? If so, it's time to free yourself from the miring. The world holds few, if any, rewards for those who remain angrily focused upon the past. Still, the act for forgiveness is difficult for all but the most saintly men and women. Being frail, fallible, imperfect human beings, most of us are quick to anger, quick to blame, slow to forgive, and even slower to forget. Yet, we know that it's best to forgive others, just as we too have been forgiven. If there exists even one person, including yourself, against whom you still harbor bitter feelings, it's time to forgive and move on. Bitterness and regret are not part of God's plan for you. But God won't force you to forgive others. It's a job that only you can finish. And the sooner you finish it, the better. The better. Amen. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Bitterness is a spiritual cancer, a rapid growing malignancy that can consume your life. Bitterness cannot be ignored, but must be healed at the very core, and only Christ can heal bitterness. Grudges are like hand grenades. It is wise to release them before they destroy you. Sin is any deed or memory that hampers or binds human personality. Here's a thought. You can never fully enjoy the presence if you're bitter about the past. Instead of living in the past, make peace with it and move on. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 in the CSB says, all bitterness, anger, and wrath, insult, and slander must be removed from you, along with all wickedness, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. James 3:16 in the CSB says, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. Proverbs 14:10 in the New King James Version says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Romans 12:19 in the MSG says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Amen? It's not for us to judge anyone. Only God is the judge. Heavenly Father, free us from any anger and bitterness. When we are angry, we cannot feel the peace that you intended for our life. When we are bitter, we cannot sense your presence. Keep us mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. Let us turn away from bitterness and instead claim the spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play two selections. And after those selections, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
Sacrifice.
flow in my heart and permeate all my soul, all my soul is yours, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. That's Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Amen? And, of course, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from whichever Bible you feel comfortable reading, but I feel comfortable reading the New Living. It's a little more clearer for me. Amen? Praise God. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 16 says, Peter heals a crippled beggar. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping and praising God. He went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's court colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter preaches in the temple, verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him." Verse 14, "You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demand the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." 16. "Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. You see, the Jews observed 3 times of prayer: morning, 9 a.m., afternoon, 3 p.m., and evening, sunset. At these times, devout Jews and Gentiles who believed in God often would go to the temple to pray. Peter and John were going to the temple for the afternoon prayer service. Amen? The beautiful gate was an entrance to the temple, not to the city. It was one of the favorite entrances, and many people passed through it on their way to worship. Giving money to beggars was considered praiseworthy in the Jewish religion. So the beggar wisely placed himself where he would be seen by the most people who were on their way to worship at the temple. The lame man asked for money, but Peter gave him something much better: the use of his legs. We often ask God to solve a small problem, but he wants to give us a whole new life and help for all our problems. He may say, "I have got something even better for you." You may ask God for what you want, but don't be surprised when he gives you what you really need. Amen. "In the name of Jesus Christ" means by the authority authority of Jesus Christ. The apostles were doing this healing through the Holy Spirit's power, not their own. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And in his excitement, the formerly lamed man began to jump and walk around. He also praised God. Then others were awed by God's power. Don't forget to thank people who help you, but also remember to praise God for his care and protection. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, Solomon's colonnade was part of the temple complex built by King Herod the Great in an attempt to strengthen his relationship with the Jews. A colonnade is an entrance or a porch supported by columns. Jesus taught and performed miracles in the temple many times. And when the apostles went to the temple, they were undoubtedly in close proximity to the same religious leaders who had conspired to put Jesus to death. But Peter had an audience, and he capitalized on the opportunity to share Jesus Christ. He clearly presented his message by telling who Jesus was and how the Jews had rejected him and why their rejection was fatal and what they needed to do to change the situation. But Peter told the crowd that they still had a choice. God still offered them the opportunity to believe and receive Jesus as their Messiah and as their Lord. Displays of Jesus' mercy and grace, such as the healing of this lame man, often created teachable moments to pray, to have courage like Peter, to see these opportunities and to use them to speak up for Christ. Don't be ashamed to speak up for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So Pilate had decided to release Jesus. He didn't find no fault in Jesus. He wanted to release him, but the people had clamored to have Barabbas, a murderer, released instead in Luke 23:13-25. When Peter said, "You killed," he meant it literally. Jesus' trial and death had occurred right there in Jerusalem only weeks earlier. It wasn't an event of the distant past. Most of these people had heard about it, and some may very well have taken part in condemning Jesus. The religious leaders thought they had put an end to Jesus when they crucified him, but their confidence was shaken when Peter told them that Jesus was alive again and that this time they could not harm him. Peter's message emphasized that the people and their religious leaders had killed Jesus. In Acts 3:17, Well, we didn't read that, but that's where it was in 17. So God had brought him back to life, and the apostles had been witnesses of this fact. After pointing out the sin and injustice of these leaders, Peter showed the significance of the resurrection, God's triumph, and power over death. Jesus, not the apostles, received the glory for the healing of the lame man. In those days, a man's name represented his character. It stood for his authority and power. By using Jesus' name, Peter showed who gave him the authority and power to heal. The apostles did not emphasize what they could do, but what God could do through them. Jesus' name is not to be used as magic. It must be used in faith. When we pray in Jesus' name, we must remember that it is Christ himself, not merely the sound of his name, who gives our prayers their power. I'll say that again. It is God's triumph. No. Where am I? I lost my... Okay. We must remember that it is Christ himself, not merely the sound of his name, who gives our prayers their power. Amen? So...
Amen.
Praise be to God. So let us pray. Our Father, how vast is your creation. When we think of the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing on the earth, we sing again. How great thou art. We thank you for loving us as we are, men and women who are sinful. And we praise you for providing redemption through Jesus Christ. Help us to be still and know that you are God. Send your spirit to arouse us from dullness and coldness. Help us to keep afresh in our spirit the thrilling thought of your unspeakable love for us. Make us diligent in your work and use these gifts this evening to further the glorious work of spreading the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Now, the book of Acts takes up the story of Christianity, where the gospel leads off. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came in a unique way, and the apostles moved forward dynamically and darlingly to tell the story of the risen Christ. Of course, the book of Acts also tells only a few of the many wonderful events that must have occurred. Now, the Holy Spirit led Luke to record the visit of Peter and John to the temple, where they healed a man who had been lame from birth. How strange Peter's words must have sounded when he said, "Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have, give I thee. But how exciting Peter's deed when he took the man by the right hand, lifted him up, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, healed him. Mind you now, Peter didn't heal him, but it was the power of the Holy Spirit of God. A double miracle occurred that day. The man learned to walk and leap at the very moment he was healed. A great stewardship lesson is presented in this story. We are to do what we can with what we have where we are for Jesus' sake today, and never wait for a greater opportunity nor for a time when we have greater abilities and resources. Don't wait. Now is the time. My text for this message is coming from Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And it says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given I thee. And my title for this message is, Such as I Have. Tonight my message is divided into three paragraphs. And my first paragraph, we're going to talk about money is not everything. Too often when we speak of stewardship, we think of money. How thrilling to see a story where money is not set forth as the most important thing. In fact, Peter even came close to minimizing it. He said plainly, silver and gold have I none, and then proceeded to work the miracle. Praise be to God. Does the time ever come in life of a church or a religious organization when money can actually be a stumbling block? Thomas Aquinas, an outstanding religious leader of another generation, once visited the Pope and was shown all the treasures of the Roman Church. The Pope said to Thomas, "Well, Thomas, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none." Thomas replied, "Yes, Holy Father, but have you ever thought that the church is in danger of also not being able to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk?" We must be careful in our day not to elevate our local churches and missions abroad in terms of budgets alone. pastors and missionaries of other days were not nearly as concerned about a cost of living raised as they were a cost of loving raised. Let us be careful, very careful, to keep our priorities correct. Paragraph number two. But money is important. The preceding paragraph is true. But something else is true also. It takes money, cold, hard cash, to carry on God's work in today's world. God's word says much about the stewardship of possessions, the giving of money. In Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, two chapters, 8 and 9. So if you have time, you can read chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Second Corinthians. Amen. Are devoted to the matter of giving. He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And that's 2 Corinthians 8 and 7. He pointed out that our supreme example in giving is the Lord Jesus Christ, who though rich, became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. So we know that Jesus Christ had everything, but he chose to give it up, to come down here to be poor for us, so that we can be rich. God has given to some people the ability to make big money. Okay? And their duty is to set aside an even larger part of that money for the work of the gospel. In Old Testament days, the tenth was the minimum. Certainly, a Christian would not want to give less to spread the Christian faith than the Old Testament Jew gave for his faith. In fact, counting all of the special offerings and supplementary tithes, the Old Testament saint was commanded to give far more than a tithe. Money is important. Yeah, because without it we can't live. I mean, we can, but, you know, God provides the money for us to live, to buy food, to keep a roof over our head. So all of that comes from God. We live in a world far different from that of Peter, John, and Paul. There was, of course, a monetary system in that day. But money is far more essential as a means of exchange than it has ever been before in the world. And more than ever before, the importance of propagating our faith is clear. We must lead people to Christ, and soon, or our way of life as we know it is in serious jeopardy. Think about that now. And number three, what do you have? Whether we use the terms talents and abilities or gifts, when we speak of what we have to offer God in service, we must answer the question, what do I have to offer my Lord? And another question follows closely. Am I willing to give myself, including my talents, abilities, and gifts, to be used any way God see fit? When General John Pershing landed in France with the American Expeditionary Force in World War I, he presented himself and his army to General Fernandez Foch, commander of the Allied forces, and said, our men, our equipment, our resources, all that we have are yours. Use them as you see fit. God is certainly waiting to hear every Christian say, in essence, the same thing. Stewardship is giving such as we have to our master unreservedly for use in the service of his kingdom. And the apostles and the first believers attended the temple worship at the hours of prayer. Now, Peter and John seem to have been led by a divine direction to work a miracle on a man above 40 years old who had been a cripple from his birth. Now, Peter, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, bade him rise up and walk. Thus, if we would attempt to good purpose the healing of men's souls, we must go forth in the name and power of Jesus Christ, calling on helpless sinners to arise and walk in the way of holiness by faith in him. How sweet the thought to our souls that in respect to all the crippled facilities of our fallen nature, of our fallen nature, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth can make us whole. With what holy joy and rapture shall we treat the holy court when God the Spirit causes us to enter therein by his strength. Observe the difference in the manner of working the miracles. Our Lord always spoke as one having almighty power and never hesitated to receive the greatest honor that was given to him on account of his divine miracles. By contrast, the apostles referred to all to their Lord and refused to receive any honor except as his undeserving instrument. This shows that Jesus was one with the Father and co-equal with him, while the apostle knew that they were weak, sinful men, and depended for everything on Jesus, whose power affected the cure. Useful men must be very humble, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name. Give glory. Every crown must be cast at the feet of Christ. The apostle shows the Jews' greatness of their crime, but would not anger or drive them to despair. Assuredly, those who rejected, refused, or deny Christ do it through ignorance. But this can in no case be an excuse. And as I bring this message to a close, everyone who believes in Christ and is dedicated to him has great possessions. They are, however, spiritual resources. We should find our greatest joy in sharing the gospel with others by lip and by life. This, however, does not relieve us from the responsibility of supporting God's work financially. We cannot evade our responsibility in financial things by rationalizing that we are spiritual and therefore are not required to bring financial gifts in the Old Testament. Even the Levites gave tithes of the tithes. On the other hand, giving money does not release us from the duty of serving in other ways. Stewardship involves both finances and lifestyle. It is not a case of either or. We are obligated to the both and principle, time, talent, ties, influence. All that we have belongs to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Prayer. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray that you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name, I pray and believe that it is already done. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you till we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise be to God. And I wish everyone a happy weekend and a blessed one. And happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. Thank you for serving and for protecting us and our country. Amen. To God be the glory. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And shalom, everyone. We love you.
Why?
sins, but I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.